our hearts, open our minds, open every part of our being for the message that you have for us. And Lord, it's not my message. I may have written down the notes, but Lord, it is your message. It's from your word, and it's what you want me to share. And so, Lord, I pray that I do this justice, that I let you speak through me, and Lord, that it will impress upon us all our need for you. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to talk a little bit about salvation. There happen to be four types of people. I got them up on the screen. People that know that they know. People that know they don't know. People who don't know that they know. And people who don't know that they don't know. And they think they know. The first category, the first one, is a confident individual. An individual that they just are well informed, well versed, and they know. The second either is seeking or is lazy. Because if you know that you don't know, you're either going to seek to find out, or you're just going to give up and say, well, I don't know, so who cares? The third one is a lack of confidence or a lack of self-esteem. And they may know something, but, you know, they're just like, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to share it. They don't really feel comfortable or confident to share what they know. The fourth, they talk like they know. They're the posers, the fakers. Those that, you know, you can walk up to them and they know everything about everything. Right? You've met them. Even if they don't know, they talk like they do know. You know, I've run into quite a few of those people in my time. And I've even tried to be that at times, because when I was in the service, you know, you didn't want to act like you didn't know something. And I remember some guy gave me advice in the beginning of my military service and said, if you're walking somewhere and you don't know where you're walking, walk like you know where you're going. Even if you don't know where you're going. And I used to do that. Boy, that's why I walk fast. And I would walk even if I didn't know. And I'm looking around like, where am I going? And end up at the end of the base and thinking, well, I missed something somewhere. And turn around and walk fast like I know where I'm going again. And I didn't know where I was going. And there's people that say, you know, well, the thing is, and they talk all this, you know, the doohickey on the thingamajig and whatever. I've become increasingly aware in the years of ministry that there are a lot of fakers in Christianity. And I don't want you to be looking around at people next to you or in front of you or behind you. We want to look at ourselves today. This is a self-evaluation. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So that's where we're going to begin, and that's where we're going to end. So I want to ask you, there's a quiz that I'm going to give you. And you can write it down if you want, or you can just mentally take stock in your own minds. Please do not cheat and look at other people's paper. Your eternal destiny is really at stake. Your eternal destiny is at stake. This is not one of those quizzes where, you know, you pass or fail and you just kind of move on to the next thing. This is an eternal decision, eternal quiz. So the first question is, when you come to church, are you here to visit with friends? Here to Facebook and text? Because we have Wi-Fi, by the way. Here to sing cool songs? Or here to worship God? Number two, when the music is playing, are you thinking about someone or something else? Thinking of how bad the person next to you is singing? Thinking that this song is dumb? Or are you thinking about God and how unworthy you are? Number three, When the sermon comes, right now, are you wishing it was over? Boring. Hoping that there's some funny stuff in that sermon so you can keep your attention. Well, it's a good time to text and Facebook. I'm so glad. God, thank you for Wi-Fi. Or are you searching your heart and seeking for God's will? Number four. When you leave church, are you glad to be out? Oh, we got out before 11. Are you happy because I did my duty for Christ, for God? Excited, I can do whatever I want now. Or are you thinking about what was said and what does God want with you? Number five, last question. Do you like to indulge in things that you know are wrong? Do you find that your language is different in church than it is around your friends? Do you feel that your life is a wreck? Or D, all the above. Or E, do you seek to follow Jesus more closely? Do you find that you feel bad when you don't? I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 4. That's 1779 in your pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 30, first of all. And then we're going to go back into the about the second half of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 30. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." You see, as a Christian, we've been sealed in Christ. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And so we should feel bad when we're not doing what God wants us to do. When we're not in the Spirit, we should feel some guilt. We should feel awkward. We should feel ill or not right. And I remember, you know, again, back in my military days, you know, I knew God. I knew Christ. I'd given my life to Him. But I wasn't living for Him. There were times, there were sporadic moments where I did, but there were other moments where I wasn't. And those moments that I wasn't living for the Lord, boy, I was beating myself up. You know, why do you do that? Come on, get a grip. You know, I felt horrible in those times. And so I knew that God was working on me, and then eventually, you know, and I got out of the service, out of that influence, and into a church where I could grow. I found that that feeling was less and less, and I began to really see that growth, maturity, was so important. I want us to go back to verse 17 in chapter 4 in Ephesians. 17, it says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." It kind of tells you what the world is like, doesn't it? I mean, these are the end times. These are days where things are winding down. If you don't get that sense or that feeling, read the scriptures more. Matthew 24 and Revelation. You know, these are the days that are getting more and more evil. But we're not supposed to live that way. We're supposed to be separate from that. It says in verse 20, "You, however, did not come to know Christ this way or that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." That's what we're meant to be. As Christians, as believers, we're meant to live a life according to Christ. To live for Him. Now I want to I want to skip. I mean, you can read more of it. In fact, I'll read verse 25. Therefore, you know, because therefore connects everything. All the things we just read, it says therefore. So here's the response. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing, steal no longer. He must work. Do something useful with his own hand. He may have something to share. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You ever do that? You ever find yourself tearing people down or using profanity in a talk with people, or using coarse language when talking with someone? You know, is it building them up? Is it making them a better person? And that's what we should be doing as we evaluate our language, as we evaluate what we say to others. Look at chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. Are we being imitators of God? You know, I think about, you know, different things, you know, our children, how they imitate us. You know, you ever have that happen, you know, and or maybe a sibling, you know, you talk and then they repeat what you say. You say, stop that. And they say, stop that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Stop repeating what I'm saying. Stop repeating what I'm saying. You know, and the kids do that, and we do the same thing. We imitate things that we see and people we know. We imitate not like word for word, but we imitate their actions. You know, as we're in a job or a business, we may imitate the boss or imitate a person who's a lead person or imitate someone we work with so we work better or we do a better job. This here, it says, be imitators of God. Well, how difficult is that? But that's what we're supposed to be. Your life is not, if it's not in step with God, or you're fighting God, then something has to change. What is it in your life that has to change? You know, in the next slide, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. There's a big gap. Sin separates us from God. There's no way that we can bridge that gap in our sin. You can try all the best you can. Remember the video in the very beginning of the service? Everybody thought they had it. I just read the articles. I did the best I could. I did this. I did that. Well, you know what? Scripture even says there were people who did miracles for God. And Jesus turned to them and said, go, I never knew you. How did that happen? Because they never had Jesus in their heart. They were doing all the actions. You know, and here's what I'm talking about, those who are the fakers, the posers. They come to church, you know, and unfortunately, and I pray that there is none here, but unfortunately, there probably is. People who come and you say all the Christian words, well, bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Raise your hands and you know, even cry a few tears. I don't know. I know I was a poser at times. There were times in the service, you know, that I was just going through the motion because I knew that's what I was supposed to do. And then as I got involved in the church after the service that was working on my maturity and helping me grow in Christ and letting me see that the things that I was doing was not what God wanted me to do. The darkness was being revealed, was coming out. And I had to shed that. I had to get rid of it. And that's what we need to do. We need to rely on Jesus Christ. You cannot live a life good enough. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You may have done a lot of amazing things. You may even attribute it all to God. But without Jesus Christ in your heart, your righteousness, your works are all filthy rags. The next slide shows that only Jesus bridges the gap. We cannot get to a relationship with God unless we have Jesus in our heart. And that's really the main thrust of every part of the Scriptures as you read through it. Yeah, it has a lot of things about, you know, what we do and don't do and what we should do and should not do. But it all points to Jesus. He's the central person from Genesis to Revelation. Believe that or not. But from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the main point. And as you read Revelation, you find out that there's a lot of churches or a lot of illustrations of churches, and those churches can relate to us as well. That we've been choked out by the world. We've let ourselves get involved in worldly things. We've let ourselves get involved in the things we shouldn't get involved with. But that's because we left our first love. That's because we kind of walked away. We need to pull that back. We need to stand with Jesus Christ. We need to give Him our entire life, our heart, every part of our life, and give it to Him. I'd like us to have a word of prayer, but I have a prayer that if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, you pray that in your heart. You pray that to Jesus and ask Him into your heart as I pray and close us at this time. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come before You, there's a lot of things we've done right, but there's a lot of things we've done wrong. But all our righteousness is like filthy rags. Without Jesus in our life, it doesn't matter how good we've been. It doesn't matter how bad we've been. Because it all ends up missing the mark. We fall short of the glory of God. I pray that today, there's somebody that has not received You as their Savior, that they would be praying that prayer up on the screen, that they would be reading that and sincerely ask You into their hearts, that they would ask You to take those sins, to make their life something rather than nothing. Rather than a wreck, You will heal it and make it something. And Lord, as we conduct the picnic in here and then do the baptism over at Ted and Renee's, Lord, I pray that maybe even today we'll have some new people. Those that have just surrendered their life to You or realize that, you know, I want to make a stand. I want to show that I believe. Lord, I pray that we're all in. And no matter what the world does, no matter what the world says, no matter how much they ridicule and persecute the church or us, I pray that You would help us to stand firm in Jesus, never letting go of salvation and the faith we have in Him. Lord, thank You again so much for this time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you did ask Jesus in your heart, Franz will be around here over there somewhere by his office. I'll make sure that there he is. Okay, I was wondering where you were. And you go and talk with him. And just do that right after. While we're standing and singing the last song, you can move your way over there to him. Or you can do that while everybody's shaking hands and walking out or walking to the fellowship hall. Make sure that you get more information, that you get more support in that decision that you made. We're going to stand and sing our last song here. It's When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.